Hiya, welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 in the lounge for a wee cuppa, followed by our worship from 11 a.m. You can also connect with us via Facebook, Exchange Church Belfast, Twitter at Exchange Church, Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, or our website, exchangechurchbelfast.com. It would be great to hear from you. Now over to this week's talk.
I just want to say there are really important days in your life. There are days that matter. There are days that are significant. And over my life, I can think of many of them. I can think of going back to Cabritars in P7 and my first kiss, all right, which is more like a clashing of teeth. In the bushes with Amanda Nelson, all right? But, and all my mates set me up for it. You would not believe it. They all set me up. They all went, well, we've all kissed our girlfriends. You have to kiss your sister. I was like, all right, okay, awesome. And so I went into the bushes and it nearly came out because it was just awkward. And then I came out and they all went, only joking, we wouldn't kiss a girl. And I was like, so I was like the pariah. I remember on the 22nd of February at 15:29 in the afternoon in 2004, okay, my son was born. Never forget that. 29 minutes past three, ba-doom, you're a dad for the first time after an incredible journey of waiting for children. I can remember getting married some time ago, and a day I'll never forget. But you know that there's days that are really important and days that stand out. And it's important to remember those days and to mark them, and that's what we do today, because what goes on today and what we celebrate together as believers, and we're celebrating and joining with the church around the world, we have to be sure that, I said last week that, you know, that we're not celebrating an event today. Isn't it interesting? And when it comes to Easter, we go, oh, that's an event. We get together, and as the church, we celebrate, we reflect on Good Friday, and then we have this time of thinking, what was Jesus doing over this? Did anyone think that yesterday? Saturday, I'm sitting watching the Lord, we're going, I wonder what the Lord was doing at this stage. That's just me. And then we get to Easter Sunday, and we go, oh, yes, this is where we celebrate the event of Jesus rising again. Now, we do celebrate that in one sense, but Resurrection Sunday, today is not an event. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. So what we do today is we celebrate Jesus. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so what we don't do is we don't create a form of religion around today, but we keep Jesus at the center of today, because today we're celebrating him and his work. Do you understand that? We're putting what he did in the middle. And Jesus at the center of your life matters. You were created to live with him at the very center. That's the way God designed it from the very beginning. And today, what we do is we celebrate not just a historical event, although those events did happen and they're important, but we say in the middle of it, Jesus, you are the resurrection. Because resurrection life for you, the power of the Holy Spirit in you, is not just for today. I had this sense during the week, actually, where I was thinking, you know, I was thinking, Flip, this Sunday, and it's Easter Sunday, kind of has crept up and all the rest of it. And the Lord said, Andrew, every Sunday's Resurrection Sunday. In fact, every Monday through to Friday, through to Saturday, is resurrection life. Because the curtain was torn, the veil was brought right open, and I can now be right at the very center. So by all means, celebrate and have fun, but remember that I am the resurrection and I am with you always. Amen? He loves you always. And so what we remember today is that we have to be able to draw lines. And I'm just going to speak for, you know, if you're a visitor, I normally have to take about 3 hours. And so we'll stop for pizza in the middle. Don't panic. Really? Lock the doors at the back. That's all I'm saying. And I'm just kidding. It's about 2.5. So does this actually mean anything to you today? Does it mean anything in real life? I mean, after you walk out of here and you go back to your roast lamb dinners or chicken dinners or whatever, you know, tomorrow we go to Easter Monday in Barry's. Who's going to Barry's? The Easter Monday trip to Barry's. We used to do that as well. Me with my hollow Easter eggs. And we used to do that. And then we'll get through the week and we'll go back to thinking about work and kids and family and bills. It can all be very complicated. And so that outside world will catch up on us very quickly again this week. But it's not just about your outside world, it's also about your inner world. The world that nobody else sees, because there's two realities that we live in, the one that we walk around physically in and the one that we carry with us. That sometimes people see and sometimes it bleeds quite a lot, but often there's a lot of stuff going on there. And just as real is that world and what we carry and what our journey and where we're at. And that's why the resurrection of Jesus is so important. Because we might be able to fool some of the people some of the time, but we can't fool all the people all the time, let alone ourselves. Isn't that right? And I love this story because it tells me that whether it's my outer world or my inner world, today really matters. It's a day for me to remember. More than Amanda Nelson or more than Ben being born or whatever, this is a day to remember because this is the center of it all. This is the center of it all. I don't want to carry around when we have the incredible story of God himself looking on those that he had created with such compassion and love and grace to send his very own, to take on our form, 100% man, with all of our human emotions and affections, all our human feelings, but to be entirely 100% divine at the same time, to walk like we walk, to feel like we feel, and to experience what we experienced, and to take on all of my mess before I had even taken a breath, all of your mess, for him to come like that because he loved us so much. I don't want to carry, when I think about how much he loves me and what he's done, I don't want to live second rate, carrying stuff and living in stuff, whether it's outer or inner. All right? Sounds like a belly button, doesn't it? Outie or innie. Okay? That'll, if you remember that today, we'll do okay. But I don't want to walk around carrying stuff that he went to that cross to take away from me. Do you get that? And so let me help you by going, why does today really matter? I was reading a survey. It was in, sounds very high, but it was in the Sunday Times a few weeks ago. And it was very, very interesting because this guy had written from a perspective around what is it that bothers people today? And you might identify with some of these things. It wasn't a Christian guy. It was just a guy writing. He had over 30 years of dealing with people, and he's a medical professional. And he said, I've kind of boiled it down. And I was interested, as I was reading this article, I was thinking about Easter going, well, this is exactly why Resurrection Sunday matters. And let me just fire some of these things out, because he distilled it into, I don't know, a few anyway. And he said, number one is relational issues always come up as number one. All right? So, you know, if I love it. If you want to see sort of shallow, superficial relationships and a tent of love, you know, just switch on your TV or go onto Facebook. All right? And what you'll see is that it's pretty shallow out there for the most part. And the problem with watching these things, of course, and how they form us and shape us, is that they tell us this incredibly shallow view of what relationships are really like, and they teach us nothing. The stuff that you and I work out every day, there's absolutely no point in going on and watching some of this stuff. And people are struggling. You know, all you probably learn is that relationships are self-centered rather than other-oriented, and they are pretty much selfish and self-serving. And it's interesting that there's a crisis today of loneliness. There's a crisis of addiction. There's a crisis of mental health. In Northern Ireland, we're about 20% higher than the rest of the UK. All of this stuff, I'm going, flipping heck. And here we are on Resurrection Sunday, where death has been defeated. But this guy just said relational stuff is out of control. He then talked about fear of money. It's not actually the fear of money, it's the fear of not having enough money. Isn't that right? The fear of running out. It's like, will I be okay tomorrow? Will I be okay? Will the money last? Will I have a job tomorrow? What about 3 months from now? If I have a job, will it be a good one? And most people are especially concerned. We say people are concerned with their income. Actually, I think people are concerned with their lack of income. All right? It's a bit like flying. You know, nobody's afraid of flying. You're afraid of crashing. And actually, so when we start to see, do you understand what I mean? Okay, so people say, I'm afraid of flying. I'm going, if we're flying, we're in a good place. All right? When we're not flying, we're not in a good place. So I'm not afraid of flying. I'm afraid of crashing. All right? Just let me throw that out there. And so with money, it's not like, will I have money, but it's my lack of money into my future. And they are concerned about their expenses and how they're going to get through. This is just people out there. And do you know what? In the church, I don't think it's any different. So we're looking at this cross and going, actually, this is the inner world that most of us live with. How do the two connect? Do you get that? Because when it comes to this, that starts to play. When I get money as an example, it plays out in lots of different ways. People either kill themselves in pursuit of career and jobs. They sacrifice morality, all sorts of stuff in order just to go, I need to be okay tomorrow. And that's not a bad thing. That desire to be safe and secure is a God-given thing. Where we find it is the issue. That's the point. He then went on to say, health issues, number three. You know, what happens if I get sick? How will I get by? Oh, flip me. You know, so many people saying, I'm so tired of hospitals and doctors. I'm sick of being sick. How can I keep myself healthy? Multi-squillion dollar industry set up all around us. But actually, one of the biggest things in the UK and in Northern Ireland today is mental health issues. All right? And it's not a lot of the stuff in this article was talking about how what a lot of what our NHS people are having to deal with is rooted in mental health. And I'm going, right, okay, I understand that. What about, I'm going to come back to that later on, what about fear of finding a loved one or fear of losing a loved one? People saying, am I lovable? Will someone care for me? We have a loneliness epidemic, you know. Isn't it funny that we're the most connected generation ever in the history of mankind? Yet today, we are the most disconnected and disparate all at the same time. Because connection, whether it's social media or any other way, actually is no replacement for real human connection. And so there's, when you can read this, go and Google it, an epidemic of loneliness. Isn't that bonkers? People with 655,000 friends on Facebook and all that, you know that? Did I mention Facebook once or twice? You know, people going, am I going to find Mr. or Mrs. Wright? Will ever someone ever find me? You know, and love is at the center of, should be at the center of nearly every relationship like that. But, you know, I think all but the most dysfunctional people actually really care about finding, keeping, and losing someone who they really love. Isn't that right? So much tied up around that, around security and feeling that connection. Because abandonment and rejection and loneliness, you know, we all have experienced that to one level or another. And, you know, there's good reason, I think, for some people to be a little bit funny about it. But at the center of it all, we were made to love. And we were made to be loved. And the greatest need in the human heart is to be loved unconditionally, known for all that we are, but yet loved at the same time. Because most of us can't even bear or even start to think about what that looks like. Because most of us go, if you really knew me, you would never love me. And so we live with guilt and shame. And we live with stuff in our lives which we can't bring out. Because if you really knew, how could you love? And the cross stands above it all. When he says, I know every hair on your head. For some of you, that doesn't take too long to work out. All right? I know every hair on your head, and I love you still. I'm trying not to look at you, Joseph, but you're laughing at me there. What about death? I mean, death's a big one for today. You know, most people are actually clueless about immortality. These are all the things that he's just listed about, you know. It was off the back of a book written by a palliative care nurse who interviewed all these people who were dying in end-stage cancer. And this work came off the back of it where she asked people, if you were going to live your life again, what would you do differently? And so this work came off the back where this guy said, actually, here's the things that people struggle with that they could do differently in their world. And, you know, most people, what happens after death? What happens in the grave? What happens after? What's going to happen to me when I die? People just don't know. And the last thing that he said that really bothers people is the future. And the future is this. What am I going to do with my life? Where are things headed? You know, scores of questions that he wrote out about regarding what the future holds and how people are going to face it. All right? Let me help you. This morning, what I just wanted to say very quickly, okay, is this. Is that whatever it is that goes on in your life, whatever one of those you identify with, and unless you're some kind of android, there's going to be something there where you go, actually, if you were to really ask me about my inner world, there's some of that stuff bothers me. You know? I mean, this week I had this thing going on about one of the kids, just randomly in my head, going, and I felt, you know. Do you want to know what it was? Sophie cut her own hair. If you look at her this morning, go, Sophie's hair is different. She was lying in bed and we'd given her a nighttime plait. Well, when I say we, Penny had given her a nighttime plait. She woke up in the middle of the night, right, and cut it all off. Okay, because the bobble was annoying her. So she lifted up the thing and cut the whole way through it and didn't say anything. And Penny said, I was working, Penny texted me and said, I was trying to cut the wee one's hair and either she's got mange overnight, right? And, you know, and she said, Sophie, were you cutting your hair? And her big sister, protective, looking out for her, went, yes, she did, and it's up in the bin. You should go and see it, right? So Hope totally daubed her in, and we went up, and it was the whole thing. I was actually going to show a photo of it, but I didn't want to embarrass her. It's like the whole thing. And Interesting, isn't it? Now, that's quite funny. We all laughed. Ha, ha, ha. And the hairdresser has done her best to fix it. And but it's interesting. I had this thing driving along going, she had scissors in her bedroom at night. And honestly, for a moment, it gripped me to go, what could have happened? And I thought, it was only about three or four minutes. But it was real for me. In that moment, I was going, oh, we were so stupid. How did she? Now, it turns out she got up, gone down to the kitchen and got them. You know what I mean? She's a creative wee slabber. And do you know what? I was like, she wanted that. I'm thinking, other than we locked down the whole house, all right? So I came home that afternoon before she had gone to the hairdresser. I went, hi, Sophie, were you at the hairdresser's? And she went, no, I did it myself. All right? I got there. I went, that's awesome. She went, uh-huh. Skipped away, wee pet, you know what I mean? Dead funny. She's the first hair cutter we've had. And so but it was interesting then me just experiencing it in something which is so random and normal in everyday life, but me going, what could have happened? Isn't that funny? She could have slipped. You know, she could have... isn't it bonkers? It's totally irrational. I get that, but it gripped me for a few minutes to go, we've really got to clamp down here. I need to lock those kids in the garage at night because that's the only way to keep them safe. All right? For the social worker, I was only joking, okay? And but you know, he's taking notes, talking to my phone. But you get me. So what I'm trying to say is we all live with these things, one to one degree or the other. They may not be a constant feature of our lives, but there's things that will come up at us and they jump at us. I've got it. Do you know, it could be Monday, Tuesday, we're doing good, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, hold on a second. And do you know what? I just want to say that's totally normal. Let me draw the lines and get right back to the root for you, because Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is all about the root. It's about Jesus through his love and his grace in his victory, going right to the root of every fear, going right to the root of every issue, going right to the root of every dysfunction, and saying, my love and my grace is greater still. All right? And everything that I need, everything that I long for and everything that I look for is not based in historical event. It's based in Jesus, the resurrection. Because in Jesus, there is life. It was his work to go to the cross, to take on sin and to rise again. Okay? And so when I look at Jesus and I keep him at the center, I go, whatever the dysfunction plays out in my life, I know that today reminds me that I have an answer and his name is Jesus. So whatever your question is today, whatever your issue is, your answer is found in what happened today. That's the truth of it. Because all dysfunction, all sin, all mess, everything that we live with that brings us angst flows from a breakdown between us and God. It's called sin. It's as real today as it's ever been. It's not a cool word and people don't like to hear it because it condemns them. But the message of the gospel was not to condemn. It was to say everything that flows out of dysfunction was broken by the cross. Isn't that good? And so what did I do this week? Honestly, when I started to feel, I didn't start to pray and cast out and do all that stuff. I just, honestly, in the car, driving from the center of Belfast, I just went, Lord, you know exactly what I need. And so I'm lifting my head up, I'm lifting my heart up, and I'm just going to think about you dying for me and everything that you did for me. Because I don't know how to sort out this heart of mine at times. I don't know why things come up the way that they do, but I do know that you're the answer. So you're the resurrection for me. You're the life for me. And so as I look forward to Sunday, I'm putting my heart and my mind and my attention on you and saying, Jesus, you went there because you loved me, and because you loved me like that, I don't need to worry about anything because all the dysfunction is dealt with in Jesus' name. And so therefore, my kids are safe. All right? Let's just pray, anointed and blessed over that hairdresser in Jesus' name. Lord, that she would have a supernatural ability to fix that fringe. Amen. All right? Have you noticed Sophie's got a fringe? It's very cute. So if you see her today, just go, your hair's beautiful, Sophie. It's absolutely unbelievable. But look, it's a bit like, remember one time Penny putting a diesel in her petrol car? Ooh, remember that morning? And they're going, this car's broken. Really? And she was going to Donaghadee Primary to teach in P1. And I said, Penny, you need to really think about what's happened here because there's absolutely nothing wrong with the car. You've just put the wrong fuel in it. You need to go right back to the first principles here and get back to the root, okay? And then you'll have good fruit in your life. So I've got to say this. Don't try to fix your life because you cannot. All the money in the world. It's interesting, this guy makes a parallel as a non-believer in his article. He says, all the money in the world matters nothing if you're not well. Isn't that right? All the money in the world doesn't matter if you've got nobody to share it with and your relationships are sour. Isn't that right? And he goes back to it and he goes, this world desperately needs love. And I think, what a brilliant message for Easter Sunday. Whatever it is, whatever you need, it's found in the cross. Remind yourself of that. All those other things will never satisfy. Sure, they'll give temporary kind of a buzz or temporary kind of good feeling. Do you want to quickly read it with me? And then we're going to be done very quick. Because today we do celebrate the greatest event in human history so far. It's a day that has shaped history for sure, an event that has changed mankind, changed my life, eternity. And if you will let it from today, it will change your life forever. Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Let's read quickly in Mark 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, Sunday, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, I said this a couple of Sundays ago, or a couple of Easters ago, that there's so much beautiful imagery. All right. If you love grace and you love the gospel of grace, this is a penalty kick. Because there's that sense here when they look and who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Because the picture of what does a tomb represent? It represents death. Isn't that right? And what covers over death is the law. The law brings death. And what was the law written on? Tablets of stone. Okay, and so whenever Jesus is in the tomb, is in that place of death, well, the thing of roll away the stone is roll away death. All right? And it's roll away the law that was written on commandments of stone so that life may come out. Isn't that good? It's a different message than what I want to preach. But remember that when the angel said, roll away the stone, it was the law is done. The commandments are done. The law is not finished. It's been perfected and completed. You need to remind. Some Christians go, oh, well, the law is irrelevant. No, it's not. The law is perfect. But it's impossible for man to keep it. So Jesus, when he did this, in rolling away the law, it wasn't doing away. It was saying all the demands have been met. It's now out of the way and now life can flow from where there was once death. All right? Isn't that good? That's a good look. But anyway, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. What's interesting in that point is whenever they go, the stone has been rolled away. It was the work of not man, but somebody else. It was divine work to do away with the commandments. To do away with all the demands of the law. Isn't that good? So they go, okay, well, we'll get life out of here. No, it was already done. Anyway, different talk. But they looked at the stone and been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. It's quite funny. They were alarmed. Don't be alarmed. Anyway, you were looking for Jesus the Nazarene. He was crucified. He is risen. He is not there. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There will you see him just as he told you, trembling and bewildered. The women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, let me just, again, just draw some very quick lines to finish, all right? In 1 Corinthians 5, 17 to 18, it says this. It says that if Christ had not been raised, the reason why we celebrate today, but actually why resurrection, Jesus as the resurrection, should be our everyday experience, and not just that one that we do in a weekend in April or March. It's because if he hadn't been raised, it says, then our faith is useless. All of this matters not to you or to anybody else. Why? Because you're still guilty of sin. If the payment had not been made and death had not been defeated, then we're all still guilty and all this matters nothing. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. So when we turn that around the other way, we go, that's why this matters to you. Listen, if you're a believer this morning, you are no longer dead in sin. Okay? Can I tell you this morning that because of this morning and because of what we celebrate, you in Jesus are not a sinner. Somebody needs to hear that. You're not a sinner who has received grace, but you keep, you know, I'm just a sinner. You are now a saint. You are no longer dead to sin. Jesus has made you brand new from the inside out. You are no longer a sinner. You are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings. Amen? That's what this means. Some of us go, oh, well, okay. That's not true because I sinned. Okay? And what does the gospel tell us? We are not what we do. We are who he says we are. And that's what that means. You're now absolutely dead to sin. Because You know, this one true living God, smashing the power of darkness and evil and death and sickness and depression and illness and bondage and guilt and shame, all defeated by Jesus today. I love the message of Jesus being the resurrection, which is the hope for my life. Because it's a message, actually, today, whenever I look at that being defeated, all of that stuff, it tells me that my God is a powerful God. It tells me that whatever is going on in my life is subject to the Lord, and it's not, he is not afraid of it. It tells me that he has more power today, and that power is in me, so why will I live afraid? That's what it means for you. Why would you live afraid when you have the resurrection, Jesus living in you? Why would you live worrying about relationships and money when the answer is found in the gospel, that you're safe in the arms of a God who loves you, and he loves you despite of your mess? He knows you and loves you all the same. That's grace. Isn't it awesome? We need a, do you know why it's powerful for me? Why I remind myself that my God is powerful? Because it reminds me that wherever my life is today, that every situation can be turned around, that I can point into my future, and I can rest in the goodness of God, knowing that I have hope for tomorrow. Church, we live with so little hope at times. I'm preaching to myself now, okay? We live with so little hope at times. I love the quote from Martin Luther King, actually. I read it this week. If you lose hope, somehow you lose the vitality that keeps life moving. You lose the courage to be, the quality that helps you go on in spite of it all. And so today, he said, I still have a dream. All right? If you lose hope, somehow you lose the vitality that keeps life moving. I love it. And I've loved this week reflecting on what's typically called Holy Week. To go, in every area of my life, and I've thought about them personally, I'm not sharing them with you today. That thought of, I have hope. Hope is a confident expectation of God's goodness. Why? Because he demonstrated it today on the cross. I have a confident expectation of goodness because he loves me. I have a confident expectation of goodness because his love is not tied to my performance. I have a confident expectation of goodness because he has made a covenant with me that puts all the onus of provision and protection and safety onto his shoulders and not onto mine. I have a confident expectation of goodness because he says that I am safe in the shadow of his wings, and because he meets me there above the mercy seat, it says in Psalm 91, me and my children and my children's children are protected. In times like this, isn't it funny booking our summer holidays to go away, and for the probably the second time I started to go, is it safe? Seriously? Is that safe? Never thought that before in my life. And the Lord goes, has anyone done that? If you're going to countries where there's been stuff going on? Yeah? I suppose if you're from past Yorkgate, it's all normal, isn't it? You know what I mean? Always have a, if you're from the north side, it's like, well, that's our everyday, Andrew. But for us good city folk, I mean, I don't know. Never mind Portadown or Newton Arts. But it's funny. I'll tell you what, this is just a wee insight into what goes on in my head. Because there's not much at times. It's pretty vacant. All right? So I'm booking this and I'm going, Lord, is that going to be all right? And flip, I wonder what would happen if, and the Lord then go, what that is that's my hope being robbed for tomorrow and hope being replaced with fear. And the Lord says, I'm above it all. We've got to keep that big empty cross, right, in our minds for sure, but we've got to see beyond that to see Jesus today at the right hand of the Father in rest and all of the goodness of his covenant ours to receive. Look past that. Do you see what I mean? To see Jesus as the resurrection. Because when I look at Jesus, he tells me, go and enjoy your holiday. And don't worry about it between now and July. You've got hope for tomorrow. This is the real, and that might be very little to you, but it's a big thing for me and my kids. I have hope. I wake up today going, tomorrow I have a confident expectation of goodness in my life. Do you have that this morning? Because the cross stands above it all. That's what this Sunday's about. Let me just finish by saying, a couple of wee things. I just want to say this to finish. You can have hope for tomorrow for sure, but your life can definitely be different because of today. I was preaching to the Christians here as well as anyone else. All right? There's a Scottish proverb. They have this saying, and I remember someone saying it to me, actually when I was working. And I was like, Andrew, if there was no harp, no harp, it would be awful. If there was no hope, if there was no harp, Guinness would have to do. Hey, thank you, I'm here all week. Is that a Freudian slip? I don't even know what the guy said. Oh no, I wrote it down. He said, "Were there no hope, the heart would break." That's what he definitely said. It was a car dealer said that to me. He said, "That's a Scottish proverb we had." And I thought, well, that's actually it. You know, your heart would break if you thought today that my life, there's no connection between what Jesus did for me on Resurrection Sunday and what my life was like. In that disconnect, our heart breaks at times. To go, God, is this simply it? Is this just all I have? Can there be anything more? And, you know, you might not admit it today, but there's many areas I know in my life and perhaps in yours that you would like to see different. Can I just say this? Your life can be different. Whatever you are struggling with, 1 John 3, verse 8 says this, the reason that the Son of God appeared, Jesus himself, the resurrection and the life, the very reason he came for you was to destroy the devil's work. All right? So whether it's guilt and shame, condemnation, never feeling good enough, constantly measuring yourself against somebody else, constant comparison, mental health, sickness in your body, can I tell you this? Your life can be different. It's not pie in the sky. If I was telling you that, it would be pie in the sky. But it's God himself says that. Look at my son, and he has defeated it all. You have total forgiveness this morning. Your past, present, and future is completely taken care of. Think about that. The sin that you have yet to commit today is already dealt with. Isn't that awesome? Like, that brings freedom to your heart, doesn't it? Oh, you're a sinner. No, I'm not. If I was a sinner, I would have no hope. And Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. I'm totally and utterly unconditionally accepted by God because of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells me that he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become what? His righteousness. All of the mess was put on Jesus so that you could be righteous, totally acceptable to God. Now flip me, put a smile on your face with that one. This day really matters. It really matters. It's the beginning and the foundation of it all. Real life. And my very last point is this, that in every area, okay, I think if you wait for external things to change, for people, circumstances, and everything else, I think that experience tells me you'll be waiting an awful long time because people are complex and they'll do your bopping. That was for the Dutch people, all right? I'll do your bopping. But what Jesus says today is, I'm king over your external world, but I'm going to start on your internal world first. I'm going to show you what it really means to be loved. I'm going to show you what it really means to have joy. I'm going to show you what it really means to live in peace. I'm going to show you what it really means to live forgiven. I'm going to show you what it really means to have guilt eradicated from your thinking and from your heart. I'm going to show you what it really means to live with peace in your mind. I'm going to show you what it really means to have hope in your heart for tomorrow. I'm going to show you what it really means to be provided for, safe, secure, in the arms of a father who says, I do it for you because I love you, not because you do anything for me. I am the resurrection and the life. And in that inner place, in that inner world, the cross, as it stands above it, empty because the work is done. Okay? Empty because the work is done. The tomb rolled away, the stone rolled away, the demand rolled away so that you can have life coming out. Okay? That gives you hope for tomorrow, amen? Remember today how much he loves you. Remember how far he reached for you and what he did for you. And an expression that I've used lots over these last few weeks is encouraging people to lean into that, okay? Lean into that and say, Lord, today I behold an empty cross. But beyond that, I see you as my resurrection and my life seated today at perfect rest, and so I can receive.
whatever my need is, relational, money, health, fear, death, future, Lord, I behold you and I receive, and in your presence you supply all I need. Amen. That's resurrection life, isn't it? Isn't it lovely? Today matters, folks. He loves you. He really, really loves you. And when you think about today, just think it was the greatest act of love that the world will ever see, was God loving you the way he did. Amen.